In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we hear about a boy who is possessed by a demon. And the Lord cures the boy of the demon, casts the demon out. There is much that is instructive in what the Lord says in this story. So the man comes to him and says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft times into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they were not able to cure him." And Jesus answered and said, something very, it's very strange. Here the man is describing the plight of his son, the terrible afflictions that the son has, and certainly the terrible sadness that the father has in seeing the suffering of his son. What does the Lord say? "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" I dare say that's not the kind of response that we would dare say. Huh? Why did the Lord say this? Because of the father's sins. Oftentimes, the sins of the father or the mother, the family, are visited upon the children. This boy was possessed by a demon because of the father's sin. But by implication, there's much more here. A Christian who feels pain as the Lord would feel pain, should any time he hears of some atrocity that occurs in the world, should feel some guilt. Yes, guilt. Every day there is news of some murder here or atrocity there or some extremely perverted act. Seems like we hear about them almost daily. When these things occur, they're not in isolation to ourselves. Terrible murders that occurred on the West Coast, this is not in isolation to us who live here in Texas. The Christian should feel that these things occurred because of the evil that's in the world, and that to some measure, they have participated in this evil. Not in the atrocities, not in the murders, not in the perversions, but also they haven't contributed much in the line of virtue. When you see terrible things in the world, and certainly there are many, 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 you should feel pain in your heart. You know, the Lord felt great pain in his heart, in his human heart. As God, he knew all things. And as man, he also knew much, as was revealed to him by his Father. And he felt the pain of the world. He felt the unbelief, the anger, the murmurings, the murders, the selfishness, all of the evil of the world, not only at that present time, but also in the past and in the future. He felt the weight of these things. This is why he was known as a man of sorrows. And why, as an aside, those who know nothing about spirituality at all like to sometimes portray Christ as a clown or as someone who makes people laugh. There are some who actually feel that it is a blessing to laugh uproariously when they are in their version of divine service. The Lord never laughed. The Lord never smiled, because he was constantly aware of the faithless and perverse generation. And it was heavy on him. Very heavy on him. And he got very tired from it. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, he said. The laying of his head, he's saying, where he would have kindred spirits, those who would be of the same mind. Now, he was using a bit of hyperbole, because indeed, there were those that he could lay his head with, his apostles, his most pure mother, and all the saints who have struggled and would struggle. But by and large, for the most part, the Lord has no place to lay his head because there's so little virtue. So when we see something evil that occurs, don't think of it as just a newspaper report. Don't think of it as something that doesn't apply to you. Don't think, well, I'm sure glad that my child wasn't taken from a Little League game or whatever else happens. Instead, try to feel as the Lord feels, this pain. The perverse generation brings forth these perversities, these atrocities. That's why the Lord answered this man as such. Not only to rebuke him for his sin so that he would correct himself, but also to rebuke us for our sins, so that we would correct ourselves. A true Christian should indeed feel himself responsible in some measure for evil that occurs, even among people that he does not know. Now, modern day psychologists would say that this is some sort of fixation that's unhealthy. The only thing unhealthy is to lightly go through our life not feeling the pain that the Lord felt. We're supposed to become like Him. Now, does this mean that in every moment we're supposed to be down in the mouth and full of depression? Not at all. But a Christian must feel. A Christian's heart must be soft. A Christian's heart must feel pain, be willing to feel pain, be willing to be compassionate. It should be a natural thing, as easy as breathing, that we should feel compassion for those who are sick, those who are vicious, those who are cruel, and all the rest. We're coming upon the anniversary of the terrible tragedy, this outpouring of evil on September 11th. It's interesting to see that how Christians, true Christians, react to such a tragedy and how people who are not Christian. Many people would say, you know, we're going to go and bomb Afghanistan into a cinder and we're going to bring it into the Stone Age and we're going to show them that you don't mess around with us. What I felt was just intense pain. Moreover, the loss of the souls of those who were crying out as they were dying that God is great, not knowing that they were actually crying out to a demon and not to God Himself. So the Lord, after speaking to the man, rebukes the devil, and the devil departs from the boy right away. And the disciples were embarrassed by this, because the Lord had given them the ability to cure and heal. This was late in the Lord's ministry. They'd already been sent out two by two. They'd raised the dead already. And yet they couldn't cure this boy. So they say, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast out the demon? And the Lord says, because of your unbelief. So this boy was suffering because of their unbelief. They were part of the faithless generation. We dare not call them perverse, because they would become holy. when the Holy Spirit would descend upon them, and they would follow and become what God intended them to be. Because of unbelief. Then the Lord says something that should be taken literally. Verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible for you. Now this is literal. It's not a literal mountain that the Lord is speaking of. But he is speaking of a mountain which will be moved if you have faith. And this mountain is the oppressiveness of your sins, the weight of your transgressions, your incompleteness, your sickness. All of these things which weigh us down and try to tie us to the earth. Certainly no land mass would be more tied to the earth than a mountain. But we can move it by belief. And what is this belief? What is this faith? It is to truly believe and live in the light of the resurrection. If we believe in the resurrection, nothing's impossible. The dry bones that Ezekiel saw became living men. Nothing's impossible for a Christian because of the resurrection. But the only way that this resurrection can become real in our lives is for us to live it. And part of living it, as I mentioned a moment ago, is that when you see things that are evil in the world, you feel about them as Christ feels. And as, in addition, you judge yourself for your faithlessness and beg the Lord that it wasn't your faithlessness that contributed to such a calamity. And then the Lord says to them, after he says, your faith can move this mountain of sins, anything can be done. If you have faith, if you live in the light of the resurrection, he says, this kind comes out not but by prayer and fasting. And superficially, this is one of the reasons why we fast. Not because we believe that we are demon-possessed. God forbid. God forbid that a Christian would live a life that would be so depraved that the demons would be able to come in freely and as at any time they wanted. Demon possession comes about because of moral transgressions. May it never be that a Christian would be demon possessed. But I warn you, it is possible. It is possible. It's possible if a man falls far enough that there's no longer anything keeping the demons out. There's no longer any watchman, no longer any guard. The guardian angels chase far away. But that is, thankfully, in few cases. But it does occur. The prayer and fasting that the Lord is talking about is indeed prayer and fasting. But also it is indicative that the troubles that we have in our souls, this mountain of iniquities, this mountain of sickness, it comes out only by concentrated effort. Prayer should be done at all times, according to the apostle, right? And fasting is where we order our days such that we eat certain foods. We have to plan. We have to think about what we are doing. So for the day that we are fasting, it rules our lifestyle for that day. the demons come out but by prayer and fasting, in a literal way. In fact, before an exorcism, the priest and those who are going to participate in the exorcism should fast. But also, the mountain of iniquities that all of us unfortunately possess. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Not just prayer and fasting, but also, this indicates, effort in all things. Comes out by doing the virtues, by learning the commandments, making them precious, ordering our priorities in such a way that we'd live as Christians in everything we do. Then these things come up by prayer and fasting, and our mountain will be moved, and we will be healed. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is much more than just knowledge of our dogmas. The Christian life is where we, with every breath we take, strive to learn the commandments and to become purified so that our mountain will be moved. If we believe in the resurrection, and I personally believe that most of us have a very poor belief in the resurrection. We believe in it as an event. We believe the things the church says about it, but we have trouble applying it to our mountain to think we can really be changed. If we believe in the resurrection and live in its light, then our mountain will be removed. May God bless you and help you in all things.